Welcome to Good Morning USA! Today we have five special stories of strength, wisdom, and struggles of the human race. From teen parenthood to religion to never giving up, there is a story for everyone! Join us as we dive into the heartwarming stories that will change your life forever. First up, we have a very unique story about teen parenting.
High school for me was real good. I ended up going to two different high schools. I started going for ninth and half of 10th grade. I was in high school engineering science. And then I transferred from high school engineering science and went on to Frankfort High School. Basically, I liked to play sports and I wanted a good education. At that time, Frankfort High School was good for high schools, whatever. So I went and took all their honor classes and got to play the sports I wanted to play at the same time. But when I did transfer over there, they tried to skip me so I could graduate a year early, but I chose not to. I had other choices of high school, but engineering science was the school I chose because that's the one that my grandfather wanted me to go to before he passed away. No, I actually liked engineering science, but I didn't know at the time that they didn't really have all the sports I wanted to play. Because I wanted to play football, I wanted to run track. I didn't realize they didn't really have those at the time. Going to high school at engineering science, I got to meet a lot of people that, surprisingly, I didn't go to school with them as long as I did, that, I was still able to be friends with, a lot of those people now. It was a new experience for me going to high school, especially catching the sub so far away from home. That was something different. Just being in that kind of environment was different than anything else. You have a little bit more freedom in high school than you're used to because you're walking from class to class.
Yeah.
And then in Frankfort, I played football, I ran track, I did wrestling. I was one of the managers for the girls' basketball team. So okay. I got to travel around to different high schools playing sports. I worked in the school store. And I also gained a lot of friends from Frankfort, too, that I'm still good friends with now to this day. You don't realize that the people that you meet now, back then you might need later. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I had my girlfriends over the years, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I had my few share. I had probably a couple girlfriends when I was at engineering science. And then when I came over to Frankfort in 10th grade, I met somebody when I start running track, met her at a track meet. I was going to Frankfort, she happened to go to South Philly High, and we was racing in South Philly, and I bumped into a track meet, and she was my, I guess, high school sweetheart all the way up, basically up until I got out of high school. Sports always help when it comes to popularity. Playing sports only really put me in the spotlight even more. And then I'm just friendly, I talk to everybody, I say hi to everybody, and I treat everybody good. That's how I was raised. Stuff like that, dressing nice, whatever was the newest fashion styles. I had the jewelry I had. I worked out, had the curly hair, bow legs. That was all the things girls wanted. So it wasn't really too hard. I guess, use what I had to get what I want, so to speak. I met your older brother's mom, Khalil. I met his mom while she was working at Popeye's. There used to be a Popeye's at 65th and Broad Street. And my buddy Eric's girlfriend, his wife now, but his girlfriend at the time, happened to be working there. And me and Eric were best friends. Me, Eric, and Kim hang out together all the time. So I just went with him to go pick up his wife, or his girlfriend, at the time, from work. And that's when I saw your brother's future mom working there. I didn't see her from the front. She was turning around grabbing chicken from somebody. But when she turned around, I was attracted to her. And I spoke to her. That was during the summer of 89. Mm-hmm. I met her. And then we probably dated for about 6 months. Her mom was real strict. Her mom was a church mother, so she was real strict. So relationship didn't last as long as I wanted it to, because she was restricted on what she could and couldn't do.
Right.
And at that time, I'm still young. I didn't really want to be tied down to be restricted to just one girl. Around December of 89, we had broke up. But before we broke up, we got together one last time. And that one last time is what got produced your brother. Now, like a month later, she told me she was pregnant, but she wasn't going to keep the child. So I didn't know your brother was actually going to be born until I seen her in August, a month before your brother was born. And her stomach was sticking out, which let me know that she was still pregnant. And she didn't see me. I saw her because I was on the K-bus. And I seen it. I was going somewhere, and I seen her just standing out there on the bus stop. And sure enough, she was still pregnant. And I bumped into her little sister, and I asked her. She said, "Oh yeah, she kept it." So, had I not even seen her that day, I would have never known that your brother was even going to be. I would have never known, because she wasn't going to tell me. How am I going to take care of this child? Because I wasn't expecting to be a father. I just graduated high school. I had plans to go to college or going to the military. 18 years old, fresh out of high school, and I got somebody to take care of. It was tough because a lot of things I wanted to do that my friends were doing, I couldn't do because I had to be somebody's dad. If I could have did everything all over again, I mean, I'd have chose a different route. But nothing I can do about it now. That's the route I basically chose for myself. And then I had to live with my decisions. I met her before I met your brother's mom. I met her back in ninth grade on the way home from school at Engineers Inc. We was catching a bus at that time, which was called the C bus, which I think is called the 16 now. And on my way home from school, she happened to be talking to one of my... I saw my friend Aaron, and she got on the bus and was talking to Aaron, too. I never paid attention to her. She saw me and saw that me and Aaron were friends, and basically told Aaron to give me her phone number so that, you know, that me and her can get to know each other. She made a real strong first move. But a week had passed. I never called her. So she got on Aaron, like, "I thought, why don't you give me my number?" So Aaron basically was like, "Can you please call this girl so she can get off my case?" So then I finally called her. And we talked on the phone for a while, but at that time, I still didn't know what she looked like because I never seen her on the bus. She was a cheerleader at that time for Oakland Wildcats, so ended up going up to the field after a game, and I met her up there at the field. Me, of course, my buddy Eric was with me again because I always needed Eric for support.
Of course.
So we went up there, finally got to meet her, and that was in ninth grade. That relationship lasted probably like 6 months, and we stopped talking to each other because we were both young, and, you know, that was like probably the first girlfriend I had, and didn't know how to, I was, I guess, a jealous type, but she showed me, you know, so we just broke up. She went her way and I went my way, and then I bumped into her again in 12th grade. You know, we were still friends all those years, but in 12th grade, we had went out again, took on her prom, and prom night or graduation night, one of those, she got pregnant again. She got pregnant, not again, she got pregnant. Trust me, it was planned because at the time, me and her mom were living together. We were engaged and everything, so I actually thought that me and her were getting married. When she told me she was pregnant, you know, we talked about it and said, you know what, that's fine. We'll keep her because we thought we were going to be together, but that didn't work out. Her parents were going through some things, and at that time, she felt as though that she needed more stability out of a relationship. We wound up breaking up because she felt that she needed someone else that was a lot more stabler than me because I was still young, she was still young. And after seeing what her parents went through, she just felt as though that she needed someone that had a better future. I mean, I was still, again, now we were raising two kids, and I really didn't have really a good income. I was working at the movie theater, hustling on the street, trying to make ends meet, trying to take care of my kid. And hustling on the street is not a career. You know, she met somebody else. And I mean, it hurt, and I understood, you know, why she did it, but we went our separate ways. Just like anybody having a child, you know, young in age, they were disappointed because that wasn't their plans that they had for me, you know, in the future. They expected more out of me. They didn't expect me to be having a kid that young. I would say it affected me for the better because it made me a better adult. You know, you got to go through certain trials and tribulations so that you can come out on the other side better. And that's what exactly it did. I came out on the other side of the whole situation better. You know, it taught me how, what not to do and what to do. So when I had children in the future and I was in a better position to take care of those kids, how to raise them. I thought it was going to be cool to have kids young because I would still be young by the time they became adults, but then I had three more kids. It's things that I know now that my friends that are my age that are starting with young kids that I can help them out because I got the knowledge of raising my oldest two.
Wow, that was a very realistic and brave story. Kudos to them on changing our perspective on teen parenthood. Next up, we have a real story on racism and how it changes people's lives. The struggle.
Okay, today I will be interviewing my grandfather, Charles Mills.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine.
That's good. So what is your race?
African American.
What was it like when you were growing up?
Well, I was brought up in the South. It was very hard. The bare necessities were really rough to have. I was born in 39, so we had a lot of hard times with work, my parents, my grandparents, and you know, it was really difficult times.
Okay. Did you ever encounter discrimination because of your race?
Yeah, race in the South. Yes, I had no access to. I couldn't sit down in restaurants. I couldn't go to the school that was a block away because of my race. I had to go 20 miles away to go to the school when I started school. I had to, I didn't have all the privileges that that most young people have, you know, because of racism.
When you got a little older, did you ever try to fit in with the other races so it would be a better life for you?
Yes. I did quite well fitting in, you know. I did very well fitting in with all races. Even though I had a rough time when I was younger, I had no problem fitting in as I got older.
When did segregation stop where you were, like, so you could be able to do things that white people did, like sit down in restaurants and drink from water fountains?
Well, the whole time that I was there, up until I was 9, maybe 10, I couldn't do that. So, but when I came to Philadelphia, I had more freedom to do all those things.
And what age did you come to Philadelphia?
I was 9, I think, around 9 years old.
So when you moved to Philadelphia, it was better for you than it was down South?
Oh, yes, a lot better.
Okay. So exactly, like, at what age did things get better with racism?
Well, it depend where you were living, what state you were in. For me, when I came to Pennsylvania, things really got better. If I had gone, when I would go south for the summer, things were just like, you know, it wasn't any change at all. I would go south every summer. Instead of living in the city, I would stay in the south during the summers.
Was it hard to find a job when you got to Philadelphia?
Yeah, very hard. I was young, but I had little jobs. I was worked in a grocery store, delivered papers. I did a lot of little jobs for people. I was the son of a single mother, so I had to pitch in and help do things and to earn some money if I could.
Do you think that there is still racism in America?
Yes, I do. Well, there's still a lot of jobs that black men and women cannot get because of racism. You know, there's a lot of trades. There's a lot of different trades that black men or women cannot get in because of their race. It's just difficult for you know, people to get jobs that are black. You know, still.
When you finally had like a real job, was there still a lot of racism? Like, did you get treated poorly at your job?
It depended on who the supervisor was. It depended on the individual that was in, you know, that I worked for. Some supervisors were fine. I didn't feel anything about race. Some weren't. So it determined. It depended on who I was working for.
If you could, would you get revenge on the people who treated you poorly?
No.
In the past?
No.
Why?
Because it serves no purpose. You know, it serves no purpose. It's, you know. Yeah. It just don't serve any purpose to be revenge.
And things like that.
Oh, yeah. 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 It would be a better world for everyone. It would be a much better world. You know, if there wasn't any racism. Or, you know, everybody would prosper. You know, it would just be, it'd be great.
Okay. Now, your mother was fairly light-skinned. Did she get treated any differently?
No. No. No, she didn't, as far as I know.
Okay.
She might have gotten treated better because she was pretty, but...
Do you feel equal to others, like, now than you did back then?
Yeah. Yeah, I always felt that I was better than everybody else. I mean, I felt that I was the same and could do whatever I, you know. I didn't feel any complex about not being, you know, I had no problems with that.
Oh, as you let those wide words sit in, we'll be back right after the break. Hello, and welcome back to Good Morning USA! After we've talked about Teen Parenthood and racism, let's jump into something a little more controversial. I know our listeners were really wanting some religion stories, so we have a few to share with you today. Here's the first.
I am on the topic of religion, in which I interviewed my 8th grade English teacher and my father. Here, they tell you their thoughts on religion.
Well, I think that everybody, depending upon what their culture, heritage, or historical background is, has their own version of religion, and we tend to, in modern times, call other people's religions mythologies. However, when those people were practicing those things, like Greek mythology, that wasn't a mythology, it was their religion. They call Egyptian mythology mythology, but it was their religion. So I think that depending upon whatever era you live in, human beings determine their beliefs and adhere to them, and they become a part of their lives, and they call it their religion.
Religion means a lot to me because I believe in Christianity. As a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit.
Like anything else in this world, religion may and can have its ups and downs, and they explain their thoughts on it.
It depends, but in my religion, yes, it is a good thing in my eyes, because this is where you find love, kindness, faithfulness, patience, etc.
I would say religion is good if it has a moral component with a foundation of love and humanity and respecting creation and all the things that entail caring for each other and the earth and all the things that we need to survive, including each other. And so I would say religion is a good thing.
Though the basics and patterns in most religions is to seek and search for perfection and to live the right passage of life, it is believed that it can and may have its twists.
I think that when people are fanatical about their religion and when their religion teaches them that there's nothing else that is worth listening to, embracing, caring for, or caring about but their particular way of belief, I think in a society like ours, especially in a place like America, where everybody is supposed to be equal and freedom of religion was one of the tenets of this society when the society was originally built. And what that meant was, because those people initially, of course, were Christians, but it doesn't say you have the freedom to be a Christian, but you don't have the freedom to be something else. It just says the freedom of religion. So therefore, you know, if you're in a society where your religious beliefs are so fanatical that it would cause you to want to hurt, harm, maim, or hinder somebody because they don't believe what you believe, then I would say that that is a negative thing. I would say that religion can lead people to disregard other human beings. And, you know, I mean, at least in the truths of the religions that I have been exposed to, like Islam and Buddhism and Christianity, you know, even Hinduism, which are like major religions in the world, hating people and putting people down doesn't seem to be in there anywhere. So if you even look at ancient Egyptian mythology, they based their system of belief on something called Maat, M-A-A-T, Maat, actually is the way I've heard it pronounced. And it's been said that even like the Ten Commandments were eventually an offshoot of this belief that everybody is important and there's some universalness and we're all connected, you know, through our spirituality and things like that. So, but people who believe that their way is the only way and there's nothing else except what they think is right and real and true, I think they're a little dangerous.
They also talk about how religion has become a big impact in their lives and has helped shape who they have become today.
Well, I grew up in a Christian environment. However, I studied Islam, and I remember studying with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I had friends who were Catholic. And in every aspect of Christianity, I found you know, a moral component. I found a component that about loving God and other people. Of course, there's varying degrees of how that affects people. And what I did, though, I found universal threads of truth in everything that I learned as a Christian. And my friends who were Muslim and Buddhists and other people, you know, I think it was important for me not to close my mind off to what anyone was calling their particular religion or version of the truth. And I've seen that there are a lot of commonalities throughout. So I would say it has affected my life in a good way, because it has enabled me not only to have some sense of spirituality, but also to respect other people's spirituality, depending upon what that is.
I remembered back home when I was 15. I was very ill. At that time, my grandma used to follow Buddhism everywhere. She took me to get better. I became more ill. I decided not to go anywhere and stay home until I died. One day, one of my friends saw me suffering so much. He felt bad and shook his head and asked me if I wanted to hear the word of God. My life will change if I have faith and belief in Him. He took me to His church. It was a Christian church. That time, I was very happy. They were talking about love, faith, if you believe in God. Whatever kind of sickness you have, if you have faith and ask God for forgiveness, He will heal you and forgive you. While the pastor was preaching, I was thinking about my life. I became a member in the church. Day by day, my spirit grew. Have faith in God and believe in Him. My life is a witness. I'm still alive in the name of Jesus Christ.
As you can see, my father and my 8th grade English teacher are one of the many people that cross boundaries every day, whether it's based on religion or just being who they are. Religion has affected them in a deep and powerful way, but don't let that fool you. They are still also ordinary people with ordinary lives.
Well, now if that wasn't enough of an eye-opener on religion, here's another story on this interesting topic. Call in after if you have any good questions!
The way I see it, there is unlimited diversity on the belief of how life began for humans. But why? Besides there being no actual proof, seeming as though it's a topic that we as humans have the necessity of see it to believe it, but why can't everyone agree on one concept? It's because of belief.
The beautiful thing about faith is that you get to make your own call. And who's there to tell you that you're wrong?
So I spoke with 3 different people, all of different age groups, different backgrounds, and hopefully very different ideas on the concept of human life. This connects the segments of religion, life, and death. So I started off by asking these people about their views on their religions. the rules they're abided by in their religion's sacred texts versus their views on religion that differ from theirs. What is your current religion and why?
My current religion is just that I just believe in God.
I'm a Christian.
I believe in God.
Why? It's just something I was born into.
Why I was born Christian? I was raised as Christian. But I don't believe in going to church or none of that.
Believing in God don't even have to be a religion. You can just believe in
him. I was raised a Christian. And my belief is that that's a personal choice.
I don't have nothing against any other religion. It's just that what I believe in.
It's nice to think that there's something else. And it's nice to think that there's something beyond our existence.
I know there's a greater power.
If I can be more than just a collection of atoms and molecules, it makes me feel good. And even if it's not true, I'll take that feel good any day.
I think religion is a lifestyle.
Religion is man-made philosophy.
It's how you live on a day-to-day basis.
I get equally upset when people of different faiths try to take away the comfort.
But at the same time, religion is like a big business.
I mean, I have a slightly different take on it. I think that people throughout history have tried to find peace and solace in different ways. Some of them involve religions, some of them don't. So I respect them all. But the words that are there, true or not, I don't see a better life than following. The only downside I see is when God or the concept of God is used to abuse and to denigrate and to tear down. Well, then it stops being any use to humanity.
How do you imagine life without God?
I don't.
Probably more chaotic.
I wouldn't like it.
It'd probably be mad war.
I think faith adds a certain color to our humanity that reason doesn't.
It seems like when you set a certain boundary as far as a religion, it seems like stuff is somewhat settled.
It was interesting that I hadn't gotten a straightforward answer when I asked them, well, how do you believe God came into existence?
How can I put it?
That I have no idea.
I just always thought he was just a spirit. Never came across my mind how he was created.
I think that may depend on your faith system.
I just thought about how he created everything else. Kind of hard to think of how he would be created.
You know, people don't know what God is.
The reason why it feels it's a he, because it's saying in the scriptures.
I think it's a natural feeling because, you know, man is more demanding and superior.
For what you did on this life, you won't get judged for it. That's God's job.
For those who's really being righteous by him, like doing the ways of what he's saying in the scriptures, you know, they'll be saved. And for, you know, for those who's not, eventually he'll, you know, cast them away. That's what I think his job is.
People deal with godliness in different ways. So for some people throughout history, that's been in a more polytheistic way, like the God of this, the God of this, the God of this.
I don't even think that it is more than one God. Honestly, it's only supposed to be one.
I don't buy a lot of this seven deadly sins and all this kind of stuff, because we all do them.
I agree with all of it, but at the end of the day, I make my own judgment. I make my own guide to how I live my life.
Humans feel safe with rulemaking. Humans like hard and concrete rules. We're like, what are the rules to get to heaven?
I don't know. To me, they just all evil.
What's all evil?
The seven deadly sins. That's why they call them the seven deadly sins. I'm against all of them.
Well, any Christians who's spending too much time with the seven deadly sins or the Ten Commandments isn't paying much attention. They could not look past following the Ten Commandments. They could not look past the literal interpretations of what scriptures.
I do follow the Bible as in like right and wrong. But at the same time, it's hard to live this life without, in my opinion, without losing your mind. You know, without making mistakes and just be perfect all the time.
We're in a world of sin. So none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes every day. You got to do more good than bad.
The God that I worship does not expect perfection out of me.
God will always forgive, because they say God doesn't hate.
Those questions about why any loving God would let a bad thing happen to a good person.
Some of them do be innocent.
Is it God's fault? Or did the human race somehow, we took it there?
That's where I don't understand.
That's a very valid thing that a lot of people struggle with.
They be saying things happen for a reason. I don't know why God do things for a reason. Like I said, then it could be the devil. You got some people doing God's work. You got some people doing the devil's work. That's why they feel like the devil got into you.
Shouldn't God have control over the devil?
Obviously, he doesn't. Heaven posed to me, it would be like peaceful. As far as hell, isn't going to be nothing but everlasting torture.
Heaven is good and hell is bad. Nothing more, nothing less.
Some people say we're in hell now.
You could be on earth and look at it as hell.
Like we in between it.
We continue to cross the boundary of belief with their personal views and experiences with the concepts of human life before and after.
I think about life every day. Not so much about death.
You can say every day, just by watching the news, it's like, God, one day I'm going to die, I just don't know when. I don't want to go out in a horrible way.
There is an afterlife. I don't know what the afterlife is. I could teach them about life, but I can't teach them about death.
Like, if you want to do better in life, you have to stay positive.
For me, I'm like, if not for pain, what is our life?
We all have a purpose for being on this earth.
We might not know exactly why, but is a purpose for everything.
I don't want an Eden existence where there's no pain. I would be boring. I'd bore the hell out of it.
Do a purpose necessarily have to be good? Could it be bad and still be a purpose?
Who knows? Mm-mm.
Science play a big role because it gives you proof.
Scriptures don't tell you as far as beforehand.
But I don't believe all those aliens.
I really can't imagine what else would be over there.
I don't believe in the aliens.
Unless you got a long-ass telescope.
But I do believe there's some type of other life form greater than us. I believe it can be somewhere else on other planets within this galaxy because humans haven't even been able to penetrate every planet.
Do I believe in Adam and Eve? Yeah, I do. I think it did. Yeah, it did happen. It had to happen. But how did Adam and Eve look? We don't know that.
You see what I'm saying? They don't tell you nothing about dinosaurs and all that came.
Maybe Adam and Eve was dinosaurs.
That's what I'm saying. Stuff was already here. Humans was already here. Animals was already here. They were just in different forms. So as far as them talking about Adam and Eve, they weren't the first ones.
If you're looking at it the Bible way, it makes sense. If you're looking at it from science, it also makes sense.
How you evolve like that without no tail, a human is a human and an animal is an animal.
I think it's possible.
I mean, it's a possibility, but
anything is possible.
I don't think there's no such thing as ghosts. I mean, there's ghosts. But
you can't say that you just contradicted yourself.
You gotta understand. No, I'm not saying no.
Yeah, why are there spirits that still lingering around if they supposed to go to heaven or hell? Like, yeah, like they say, why they haven't crossed over yet?
Spirits being trapped in the two world? I don't believe in that either. I really don't believe in stuff like that.
I don't know if it's something that they have to finish.
So you think there's souls trapped in between the two worlds?
I don't think there's so, because what makes them trapped?
Don't think there's like souls sitting in some type of closet just waiting.
No, I'm just saying. No, but
do you believe in ghosts? I don't believe in it.
I don't think they've seen ghosts, but they might experience something that they can't explain.
But I think science can explain that.
Oh, it was an incident. The house we used to live in, Jerome Street. Mommy in the kitchen cooking. Me and Byron in the dining room. I think we was playing the game or whatever. And now mind you, the front door was not open. All of a sudden the door just slammed. And we like, what was that?
We've experienced it. On Jerome Street. That room that was next door to mine's, I told you, every night, 3 a.m., somebody walks up the steps. Anything can happen 3 a.m. I don't think devil hours. Would you gonna blame the things in the daylight on Jesus? Jesus is killing from 12 noon to 2:59 a.m. The resident that used to live at our house, Mr. Bill, you know, when this started repeatedly happening, I thought my mom or somebody or one of the kids was creeping up the steps. Did it scare me? Yeah, it scared me. You know, then I kept going to the door trying to see who's walking up the steps. Won't nobody, wasn't nobody there. I even started keeping the hallway light on. And I said, maybe I can see some footstep shadows underneath the doorway if I keep the hallway light on. But it never, I never seen anything.
If you think about it, like if I look at myself, this is a spirit looking out of a body.
Your body is just a shell. Do I think like when I die, I'm going to be reincarnated?
Like that spirit can die and be reborn.
That's why I feel as though is there is a God.
No, I don't believe in that.
But see, you know, we never know where people go when they die. Like, for instance, I could go to hell. Who's to say? But honestly, I would hope I go to heaven. I don't want to be tortured forever.
After I die, I know I'm going to get judged. You have to get judged, right? So...
Well... We already have a ton of callers calling in on tears from our past few sessions, but let's jump right into our last interview story on never giving up. As if teen parenting, racism, religion, faith, all of that wasn't enough, here's a story on never giving up, and we hope that this sticks with you throughout.
I won't give up, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up.
Fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten. Neil Gaiman. This quote had me wondering that overcoming a time when you've had a setback can either make or break you. People use this very thing that you're insecure about or that's your weakness against you. But the way to be free is to be who you truly are and to never give up. To be the little engine that could. But finding yourself is so hard when others tell you to be someone else. Sometimes when you get knocked down, it's a lot easier to not get back up. Today, I have an aunt of mine that is now vice president of one of Philadelphia's best stock marketing brokerage firm in the city. Having thought she had everything figured out, and me myself not knowing what I want to do with my life, little did I know she was in the same boat. Let's listen in.
I just didn't know what I wanted to do. There was nothing like from when I was a child that I wanted to do. People were majoring in biology, they were majoring in sciences, they were majoring in all different specific areas, and I didn't know what to do.
Well, that would have been tough, but I found out that she did know she wanted to go to college. So as she was making her first step towards that, this is what she got.
Well, when I was in high school, I had a great grade point average, but my standardized tests were poor. Guidance counselor, who, by the way, was like about 107, told my parents that they would have to build a college for me to go to because I would never get into any college. I was just so freaked out that I wouldn't get into any college.
I know personally when somebody tells me something negative or puts me down, it sticks in my head for probably the rest of my life. But I wondered, how did she go about this? How did she take that advice from an authoritative figure, somebody you look up to, and use that in her life?
But I ended up getting into school. I ended up going to Rutgers University, going to graduate school. I was commuting from Atlantic City up to Philadelphia to get my MBA, and I ended up getting an MBA in finance and accounting.
So that was it. She went to college, went to graduate school, got her MBA in finance and accounting. End of story, everything's great, right? Wrong.
And I would go into different brokerage firms and give them my resume and try to get hired. And I must have gone almost a year before I got a call back from Payne Weber. And he said, and we're going to hire you. And then I found out I had to take a test. And it was like another standardized test. And I thought, ugh, I have to take a standardized test. How am I going to do this?
On top of knowing that was a weakness for her, what really had her worried were those kind, kind words a guidance counselor had stuck in her head at a young age.
I was never going to get into college. All that comes back.
So what do you do from here? Knowing all this information and a lot of people I know they would have given up. But not my aunt. This is what she did.
I studied the material 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I just took those practice tests 150 times until I could recite them.
It must have been a bummer knowing that the one thing that would give you a steady job, life, and everything you worked for would be based off of your biggest weakness.
I was very worried that if I didn't pass the test, how I was going to survive.
Well, I'm sure you guys, as I was, are dying and itching to find out how she did. Well?
I got the highest score ever for the company.
And so, figuring that out, I was curious as what she learned from this. What does she have with her to hold on to as she faces everyday challenges of her life? What did she take from this particular moment that she can use forever?
It just showed me that you can do things that you want to do. And if you want to do them, you better make up your mind. The only thing that keeps you back is what goes on between your own ears. So if you set your mind to do something, I think that most of the time you can do it.
So to sum up what I've learned that you can't be afraid to fall apart because this is the opportunity to rebuild yourself and who you want to be.
Don't listen to people that put you down. I mean, I still remember that guy.
There will be many, many people in your life who will tell you no. No, you can't do this. No, you're not good enough to do this. No, you can't do this. But it's up to you and you only to turn around and tell them yes. This is what you want to do. If you want it, you'll work for it. It's not about what happens to us. It's about what we do about it. Not about the failure, but about how we react to it. Every time you say you're done, you find yourself trying again. There's always going to be something bringing you down, but it's up to you to show how strong you are. So thanks to my Aunt Adrienne to open up about her personal experience, because I'm sure we all have them. But just remember this. It didn't matter that the dragon exists, because they will always be there. There's nothing we can do about it. But it matters that it can be slayed in the end, because that's all in our power. There's only one person who can do it, and that is you.
Even the stars, they burn. Some even fall to the earth. We got a lot to learn. God knows we're worth it. No, I won't give up. I won't give up.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Good Morning USA! I hope you had a very informational listen, and I hope that you take this lesson of strength and wisdom and heartwarming and kindness through your daily lives and use it. Stay gold. We hope you all have a fine day and tune in tomorrow for some more interesting stories. Bye!